I greet you all in the name of Jesus, the one who died and rose again. I give you all welcome to enter into worship with us this morning. The message this morning is a reflection of last Sunday, being Easter. I shared this message as Swatara, and I'm taking the liberty to share it here as well. I asked what was preached on, and I don't believe it overlapped. This morning, the title, Evidences of Christ's Death and Resurrection. Just a few thoughts regarding this. We, as Christian people, celebrate Christ's death and resurrection on Easter morning. And as we celebrate that, there is also influence from outside culture or other culture that would follow the customs of gathering Easter bunny eggs and etc. Also, last Sunday, I believe, was April Fool's. And so we have these influences that are surrounding us. And I'd like to help you understand this morning that some of these influences are taking or can take the attention away from some of the greatest events that happened in history that we find in the Word of God. And I'd like if you could turn in your Bibles to Matthew 27. I'd like to demonstrate that as we think of trying to get the attention away from Christ's death and suffering. We have from the very beginning in Scripture given to us in a few words the intention to hide the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'd like to read those inserts first, and then we'll go back and we'll read the surrounding verses regarding Jesus' death and resurrection. Matthew chapter 27, I like to begin in verse 62. Notice this here is after they put Jesus to death. 27:62. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last heir shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Moving down to chapter 28 and verse 11. This is after his resurrection. We notice in verse 11, now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and shewed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. And so they took the money, and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. That's an interesting insert from the Word of God, how they were trying to hide the resurrection of Christ. And the very thing that they were scared of, they ended up going back to that plan. They said, lest his disciples steal him away. And then in the end, they spread that same rumor, trying to cover it up. This morning, the evidence of Christ's death and resurrection is important because it is the foundational work of our Christian life. But Satan is trying to get that focus off. He doesn't want us to think about these real events in history because they speak to us. And today, Satan is using counterfeits to detract our attention away from Christ. And so this morning, the goal of the message is to reaffirm the truth about the death and resurrection of Christ. I'd like to read some of the surrounding verses. I'd like to go back to Matthew 27 and begin reading at verses 45, and I'd like to read through 61. Matthew 27, verse 45 through 61. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over the whole land, or over all the land, until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, what is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. And many women there were beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. I like to read now also verses 1 through 10 in chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Evidences of Christ's death and resurrection. I have 10 that I'd like to give to you this morning as we think of the evidence. Number one, it is written in Scripture. Jesus' death and resurrection is recorded in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts and in many other places in the Word of God. It's in here, and you'll find it. None of us were eyewitnesses to his death and suffering, as it were. None of us were back there. None of you are old enough to remember that. We don't see that. We find it written in the Word of God. Our authority comes from this book right here. That's where we know it is true. And today, the Word of God is being used lightly. It's being made fun of. It's being disregarded more and more. It's being taken out of our schools. It's no wonder that the celebrations of today's world are catering more and more away from the greatest events that ever happened in history. It's no wonder. They're celebrating all kinds of holidays and forgetting the greatest events in history. And the Word of God will continue to be true, and it will continue to speak truth regarding Christ. John chapter 20, verse 31 says, "But these are written that ye might believe." I'd like to turn to 2 Peter, just read a few verses from that passage. I'm going to keep coming back here to Matthew 27. First Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. We see in these verses prior to this, they were hearing a voice from heaven. I believe it was at Jesus' baptism. But in verse 19, he says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so we understand that this is the Word of God, and it is inspired, and everything that we read into this is true. And so the resurrection and death, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Christ are true. And so we notice that the Word of God is evidence of Christ's death and resurrection. Secondly, another evidence is Jesus had power to lay down his life. We notice in Matthew 27 and verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And if we turn to John chapter 10 and verses 14 through 18, it would talk about Jesus laying down his life and taking it again. And this is proof of his divinity. Christ is not just a good man, as some say, but he is the Son of God. And no man has the capability to make himself die or be resurrected by simply speaking the word. No human being. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." This morning, Jesus came to the earth because he had a mission. And Jesus came to redeem us. And the only way that he could redeem us is by laying down his life and taking it again through suffering, death, and resurrection. And Jesus did lay down his life. Not only did he lay it down, but he took it up again. He took it up, he abolished the old covenant, he brought in the new covenant. And in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, it says, it caused Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm just going to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, read just a few verses from that passage as we see the authority through his death and resurrection. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 through 17. "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." And we notice that Christ died and he rose again. And I would like to say that Jesus' power to lay down his life is evidence that he is the Messiah who came to redeem us through death and resurrection. Moving on, another evidence, number three, is the extraordinary happenings. We see there was darkness for 3 hours in Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. You know, when the true light died, darkness came. And I don't believe this was just a coincidence, but rather it was God trying to draw the attention to Christ. It was an extraordinary happening that took the focus to the happenings or what was happening. And just at that point, Christ had died. We also see in Matthew 27 and verse 51, we see also that the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. You know, there wasn't anyone there with a scissors trying to cut that up. No, that just happened. Why? Because God was putting away the old system and he was bringing in the new covenant that he was establishing. It all pointed towards his death. We also see in verse 27 and verse 51, it says there was an earthquake and the rocks rent. It was actually two earthquakes, one when he died and one when the angel of the Lord descended and rolled back the stone from the door. No, God could allow Christ to be crucified, but Jesus' power was not defeated. After the earthquake and the other happenings, the centurion and the others around him confessed. They said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." God orchestrated these various events to reveal the reality of the death of Christ. We also see in verses 52 and 53, we see that the open graves and the saints being resurrected. Here we see that the power of God was manifested in rising people from the dead. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Not only did Christ have the power to lay down his life, he also had the power to raise his life and to raise others. The extraordinary happenings are evidence of the death and resurrection of Christ. It all pointed towards that. Moving on, fourthly, another evidence is a prophecy being fulfilled. I'm just going to take time to turn to a few of them. I'm going to turn to Psalm chapter 22. I like to read a verse in that passage. Psalm chapter 22. And before I read that, I'm going to read Luke 24, 25. Then he said unto them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe, all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into glory?" And also we have in our story about them, we didn't read that today, but they cast lots over his clothes. And we notice here in the prophecy in Psalms 22 and verse 18, They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Also turning over to Psalm 69, we see another prophecy that I like to read. This is in regarding to giving him drink while he was on the cross. They gave him some drink. And here is a prophecy in Psalm 69, verse 21. "They gave me also gall for my meat and my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink." And we could turn to Isaiah 53, and we're not going to take the time to do that, but it speaks about Christ's sufferings. We could also turn to Zechariah 9, verse 9. Here is a prophecy of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Daniel 9, verse 24 through 26 gives us a timeline that indicates that the Jews could have known the very week that Jesus was to enter Jerusalem and die. Furthermore, in the Old Testament, on the 10th day of the month Nisan, a lamb was to be taken and killed for the Passover on the 14th day. Christ was a fulfillment of the old law during the same week. He rode into Jerusalem on the 10th day and was crucified the 14th day. Prophecy just fit together to complement and to show what happened in reality. I'd like to turn back to Matthew 20. Here are Jesus' words himself about his death and resurrection. Jesus prophesied what was going to happen to his life. And they're very special because they're Jesus' own words, Matthew 20 and verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto chief priests and unto the elders, unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And he shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Is that evidence? Sure is. And at one time, Peter questioned Jesus about this. In one of the Gospels, Peter told Jesus that, you know what, these things weren't going to happen. And Jesus used some very strong language to Peter. He said, Get thou behind me, Satan. Jesus clearly understood his mission. His mission was to suffer and to die and to rise again. And he spoke of it, and the scriptures spoke of it, and the scriptures fulfilled the prophecies, or the scripture shows that the prophecies were fulfilled regarding Christ. And so the fulfilled prophecy confirms the truth. And so I believe that fulfilled prophecy is evidence of the death and resurrection of Christ. Fifthly, another evidence is the rolled away stone and the empty tomb. Matthew 28 and 2b. And came, talking about the angel of the Lord, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now in Matthew 27 and verse 65, we read that account, that insert here in the scriptures where it talked about setting a watch and making it as sure as you can. And they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And we see that Pilate had given them permission to guard and seal the tomb for fear that the body would get stolen and there would be a rumor published about his resurrection or that his disciples had stole him. But in spite of the sincere efforts to secure this tomb, we notice that in chapter 28 and verse 4, and for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men, referring to the angel of the Lord coming and rolling back the stone. We also could read in the beginning of Mark 16, we could notice the women coming early to the tomb with their spices. I'm not quite sure what they were thinking because there was a big stone rolled in front of the door, but that was their problem. They said, Who will roll the stone away? Evidently, they had great faith. But upon coming to the tomb, what did they find? They found that the stone was rolled away. And they also found that Jesus' body was gone. Not long after this, Peter and John hear about the news, and they run to the sepulcher, and guess what they found? The rolled away stone and the empty tomb. Is this evidence? Sure is. The rolled away stone in the empty tomb is evidence of Jesus' death and resurrection. Moving on, and sixthly, another evidence is the angel's visit and announcement. And it shows it here in Matthew 28, verses 2 through 7. We see the eyewitnesses saw the angel roll away the stone and sit on it, and give the announcement that Jesus is risen. In verse 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. This angel was a real event in history. It wasn't just a dream. Notice in verse 3, his countenance was as lightning and his raiment as white as snow. They have this picture of this angel. It was real. It was a reality. We could turn to Mark 16. It refers to the angel as a young man sitting and clothed in a long white garment. We could turn to Luke chapter 24. It refers to the angels as two men that stood in shining garments. We could turn to John chapter 20. It mentions the two angels sitting in white in the sepulcher. And during this visit, the angel tells the women to tell the disciples about the news of his resurrection. And so between eyewitnesses and news media, the truth about Jesus was revealed. The angel's visit and announcement was evidence of Jesus' death and resurrection. Seventhly, another evidence, we see the wrapped napkin and the linen clothes. And I would really like to read, turn to John chapter 20. This account in Matthew does not have this written, so I'd like to read it out of John chapter 20. I like to read verses 6 and 7. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Commentary mentions that if this body had been stolen away, the thieves would not have taken time to undo his clothes and unfold the napkin. It looks rather like someone woke up in leisure to the early morning, neatly set his clothes aside, wrapped his napkin, and then left. The story of his disciples stealing him away doesn't make any sense. Besides, remember they had the sepulcher, sure, by sealing the stone and setting a watch. Getting past the soldiers would have been tough. Breaking the seal would have had dire consequences. But in the middle of all the efforts to cover up the truth, we have some proof of his resurrection. The soldiers didn't think to discard the evidence. The clothes were neatly laid out, and the napkin was folded up or wrapped. And it confirmed the truth about the resurrection. And so we notice here that the neat arrangement of his clothing is evidence of Jesus' death and resurrection. It's evident that he was in the grave and that he rose again. Eighthly, more evidence is the witnesses of his death and resurrection. Pilate himself, while Jesus was in trial, said, "I find no fault with him." And then he wrote what description above him? "This is the King of the Jews." Interesting. The centurion in Matthew 27 and 54, after the earthquake and those happenings, said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." We have the women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary and Joanna and many other women, eyewitnesses to his death and resurrection. And we also have the disciples and others. In Luke chapter 24, 48, Jesus tells the disciples, they are witnesses of his death and resurrection. And Peter confirms this in Acts chapter 2, 32, when a multitude was gathered together on the day of Pentecost. Peter says, we all are witnesses. And it says that 3,000 souls were added to the church the self same day. The Bible also says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, speaking of Jesus, he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And so we see that the witnesses give evidence of Jesus' death and suffering. Moving on, and ninthly, another evidence is the reappearing and signs of Jesus. And it was not in this passage, I don't believe, but in one of the Gospels, he reveals himself to two on the road to Emmaus. While their hearts did burn within them of the happenings that happened, and while they were walking, Jesus comes and he walks beside them, and they don't even know it at the time. He also appeared unto his disciples at least three times. In John 20, you could read this. Once to the disciples without Thomas. The second time to the disciples, including Thomas. And thirdly, when they were fishing in the Sea of Tiberias. We also could read in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 19, Jesus gave the Great Commission after his resurrection. We also could read in Mark 16 that Jesus tells us the signs and the power that will follow them that believe in Jesus. And in Luke chapter 24 and verse 44 through 53, Jesus opened the disciples' understanding about his suffering, death, and resurrection. And at that time, he also gave them the promise of the Holy Spirit before ascending into heavens. And John chapter 20, verse 30 reads like this, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book." So we don't even have all of them in here. We just have some of them. "But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." Is that evidence? Is that enough evidence for you? The appearance and signs of Jesus give evidence to Jesus' death and resurrection. And lastly and tenthly, more evidence is the promise of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus' return. The promise of the Holy Spirit. And we could turn to different passages for that. Maybe I'll just turn to Luke chapter 24. It's not in our text this morning, but I'll read a verse from Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And this is Jesus speaking, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And we could turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. I believe it would be, and we could find that promise as well, the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And today we studied about that in our Sunday school. In Acts chapter 2, we read of the coming of the Holy Spirit, a fulfillment of the promise that Jesus gave after his resurrection. We also have the promise of the Lord's return. We could turn to John chapter 14 and verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." This is Jesus' words. And we could also turn to Acts chapter 1 and 9 through 11. We could read there about the angels coming to the disciples. After Jesus had ascended, the angels came and stood by them. And they told him that as you have seen him go up, so will he return in like manner. That was by the angels. The promise was given by the angels about Christ. And one more thing I'd like to bring out, and that is the wrapped napkin. I'd like to read this to you. The writing on Hebrew tradition tells us that a servant could tell when his master was finished eating at the table by the way he treated his napkin. Traditionally, when the master left the table, a napkin that was unfolded and tossed on the table in a heap meant the master was finished. But if the master left the table and the napkin was still folded, it meant that he was coming back to the table. The folded napkin gives evidence of Jesus being dead in the tomb, but also symbolizes that Jesus is not finished on the earth and will return. The promise, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit and the promise of his second coming is evidence of his death and resurrection. This morning, are you convinced that Christ has truly died and rose again? Is there anything that's distracting you from believing that and from focusing on that? Because this is the essence of our Christianity. And I'd like to leave with you John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Praise God for the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You may kneel for prayer.